us to pay a visit now with our friend Tim Drake, who is in St. Joseph, Minnesota, with the National Catholic Register. Timothy, good morning.
Hey, how are you, Gus?
Fantastic, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's, you know, good. It's later, compared to when I've been on in the past.
I know you're liking this, aren't you? You actually got to sleep. What was the hour that you used to call it? By the way, just Tim. We would have Tim on at 6:40 a.m. Eastern time, which in St. Joseph, Minnesota, is 5:40 a.m. And I know you didn't. It wasn't ungodly. What was the term that you used?
What was the term?
I can't remember. Dishonorable, something like that. It was pejorative. Whatever it was.
Insufferable.
The insufferable hour. Well, I'm glad that it's not so insufferable for you this morning, Tim.
This is great.
So. Hey, speaking of which, for those who may not be familiar with Tim, Tim, I was mentioning just a moment ago, later on this morning, we're going to have another edition of our Conversion Corner.
Yeah,
and you've actually, you've been in our Conversion Corner before. You are a convert to the faith. Give us the thumbnail sketch of that, if you will.
Yeah, the thumbnail sketch for me is that I was a former Lutheran and really was brought into the church by the Eucharist and through Eucharistic adoration. That's the thumbnail version.
Wow. And now, when did you come into the Catholic Church?
I came into the church in 1995.
1995. So gosh, you're going on, 15 years now,
that's
huh?
That's right. That's
wow.
Hard to believe.
And time just flies, doesn't it?
It
really
does.
Is amazing. All right. Now, Tim is also with the National Catholic Register. Been a reporter for the Register for many, many years. And by the way, your conversion story, too, is featured in a book. And what is the name of that book again?
Yeah, the title of that book is There We Stood, Here We Stand, 11 Lutherans Rediscover Their Catholic Roots.
Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff. So if you'd ever like to hear about Tim's conversion story in its detail, then you can go there. All right, lots of stuff to talk about in the National Catholic Register. Now, for those who aren't familiar, you guys have a great website. Tell us a little bit about the Register and that.
Yeah, well, of course, the Register, which for many years has been a weekly, is now a biweekly newspaper. But also, we've got the daily blog where things are really hopping and happening. So check out www.ncregister.com. You'll find more content there than you can possibly even keep up with.
Yeah, it's really great. They got a lot of great bloggers and, of course, all the latest news stories. It's updated many times every single day. All right, some things on the website that I wanted to talk to you about, the National Catholic Register, again, at ncregister.com. We got the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday, but there's something else going on kind of related to the Super Bowl. Tell us about that.
Yeah, although it's not football-related, it's baseball-related.
Which is kind of odd, but that's okay. Sports related. What are you going to do?
That's right. Yeah, it's called Faith Bowl 3, apparently, and it's a show that's been put together by Family Theater Productions, and it's going to feature three prominent baseball players: Mike Piazza, Mike Sweeney, and Bobby Capel. And I believe it's airing on EWTN. I think it was 5 p.m. on EWTN, but also on a lot of other Catholic stations across the country. On Sunday, February 7th. And these three guys are devoted Catholics, and they're going to be talking about their faith and how important their faith is in their life, and in their profession.
And it's Mike Piazza, I know, and a number of other, as you say, baseball players, which,
yep.
One sport's as good as another when you're talking about faith, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So that, again, is called Faith Bowl 3.
Yeah.
And you can read more about that on the Register's website at ncregister.com. All right, Tim, just a moment ago, I was telling about how in our Conversion Corner later this morning, we're going to have a former Episcopal priest.
Yeah.
He and 50 of his parishioners actually came into the Catholic Church all at the same time back in 2005. But you've got a great story on the Register's website called Episcopalians on the Move. Tell us about that and what you're seeing maybe in the not-too-distant future here.
Yeah, well, of course, we have to just talk a little bit about the Pope's Apostolic Constitution, which is going to allow Anglicans to come into the Catholic Church as a body. And the traditional Anglican Communion has asked the Church for this several times over the past couple of decades, actually. And finally, the Pope felt that he had to respond. And there are about 400,000 Anglicans worldwide in the traditional Anglican Communion. And what made us look at the story is because we were interested how many there are in the U.S., and there are approximately about 5,200 folks who are in the traditional Anglican Communion. So that means, the Church could potentially at least here in the U.S., be receiving 5,200 converts over the next few years. But the expectation is that these groups will start coming into the church later this year. And in fact, the bishop of the traditional Anglican Communion has accepted the Holy Father's offer, and so now it's up to sort of these individual groups to decide when they want to come into the church. And so it really is an amazing thing. I think it was the biggest story of this past year.
Yeah, you know, we talked about that on the program on a number of occasions, and there were those critics, if you will, who kind of said, "Oh, you know, the Pope and those Catholics, they're just poaching." You know what I mean? They're poaching into the Episcopal Church.
Yeah.
What did you make of all that, Tim?
Well, I mean, I can't see it as poaching when it is the Anglicans who, first of all, left the church historically, correct?
Well, okay. Yeah, and,
secondly,
they're the ones who kind of made the move or made overtures
exactly.
toward the Catholic Church, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's the other thing, is that these negotiations have been going on for decades, and this group has asked repeatedly if there is a way that they can come into the church. And, you know, so finally the church has said, sure, we'll find a way to make it work. You know, but this is at their request. You know, so I hardly see that as sheep stealing.
Well, yeah, I would have to go along with that. Tim Drake is with us this morning. National Catholic Register, ncregister.com is their website, and we're talking about some of the big stories that the Register is covering. All right, the next thing I want you to talk about is the a story called Pill Cancer Link Confirmed. You know, this is something that many in the contraceptive mindset, if you will, in the medical community, they don't want stories like this to be known. And yet it's kind of something, I think anyway, that along the lines of Humanae Vitae, we call that a very prophetic encyclical by Pope Paul VI. This is not necessarily was predicted or anything in that, but I kind of see this all as kind of running along this same thread. Tell us the story.
Yeah, and this really is huge, because you've got many of those in the medical field that want to deny any kind of link between the pill and breast cancer, or abortion and breast cancer. And this study, which appeared in the April 2009 issue of Cancer Epidemiology, showed that there was an increased risk for breast cancer by those who had taken the pill, the birth control pill, and also by those who had had an abortion. And what's alarming is that, especially for those who start taking oral contraceptives before the age of 18, they multiply their risk for this type of breast cancer, which is called triple negative breast cancer. It's a very aggressive form of breast cancer, by 3.7 times, which, I mean, it's quite a significant risk factor. And, you know, for years, the National Cancer Institute has said that there is no link between the two. But here you have this study coming out, and this was a federally funded study, which is showing some link. And this is not anything new. I mean, back in 2006, the Mayo Clinic published a meta-analysis of about 39 different studies. This looked at a number of studies that had been done, and 21 out of 23 of those studies showed a 44% increased risk of breast cancer in women who took oral contraceptives prior to their first pregnancy. So, you know, in the fact that we're not hearing this in the secular media, it really is alarming. I mean, this is something that should be shouted from the rooftops, and doctors should be, you know, telling women this before they're going on.
Sure, but of course, they don't want people to know, and so that's why they kind of sweep this under the rug. And one of the interesting aspects too that you alluded to a moment ago, Tim, is that this isn't something that came from the Catholic Medical Association or some other group that may be perceived to have some sort of agenda that they're trying to further or anything like this. This was a federally funded study from a neutral organization, if you will. That's just it's just a flat science, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I believe there are at least 8 different medical organizations that have recognized publicly the link especially between abortion and breast cancer. But this study in particular, no, you're right. This did not come out from the Catholic Medical Association. It came out from the Seattle-based Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center.
In other words, nobody had an axe to grind or an agenda to move forward or anything in a study like this. So this is definitely something that we need to sit up and take notice of. And as Tim said, you know, this is something that people need to know about, that they're not getting. You're not going to get this story on CNN or ABC or, you know, any of the, quote, secular media outlets. But you can find it at the National Catholic Register's website at ncregister.com. All right. Anything new on Haiti that we need to know about, Tim? How are things going there? You know, what's the Register talking about Haiti?
Yeah, Haiti, you know, obviously the recovery efforts are continuing there. I think what's most fascinating about the Haiti story is just the vast amount of work that the church is doing there, and you know that again is something that really needs to be noted. You know, people like to criticize the church for any number of things, but when it comes to disasters like this, this is something the church really does well and gets right, which is helping those in need. And you know, we see that over and over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about yesterday, too, about how the Vatican has released their preliminary report of the damage to the church, not only physical buildings, but also to the people of the church, you know, the Daughters of St. Paul, many nuns and priests and religious and whatnot who were all killed in that Haitian earthquake. It's pretty, pretty sobering stuff, isn't it?
It is, yeah. You just think about if something like that were to happen here. I mean, you just can't imagine the devastation that
Hey, just curious too, has the Vatican said anything about, you know, the future of the church in Haiti? I mean, is the Vatican looking at, obviously they want to make sure that the immediate needs of the people are taken care of, but you know, at some point you got to kind of look long term here and say, wow, you know, it's going to take 10, 15 years to kind of rebuild the church in Haiti. Have you heard anything about that, Tim?
You know, it seems to me I saw something just, you know, just sort of a statement. Of course, the church is going to continue there. But, yeah, I haven't seen anything more in-depth on that.
Wow. Well, of course, the National Catholic Register will keep us posted on all that stuff. Any prediction for the Super Bowl? Now, I don't know. You know, I'm asking. Well, listen, here, I got to ask this question, and I want to talk about this a little bit tomorrow. If you're a Catholic and you're not necessarily a Colts fan, is the default position to root for the Saints because they're the Saints, for Pete's sake?
The Saints, exactly.
Right.
That's what I have to go with.
Do we have to? So, all right, so give me your prediction then. Tim Drake, National Catholic Register. Who are you saying is going to win the Super Bowl?
I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek because if anyone who knows me knows that I am probably the worst sports fan in the world. But, I'd have to go with the Saints. Come on.
All right. Well, just because they're the Saints, right? How do you go? And at quarterback, St. Joseph. Nice. All right, Tim, as always, a pleasure having you on the program, man. Thanks very much, and God bless you.
Thank you, Gus.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care. That's Tim Drake with us this morning, the National Catholic Register. We were talking about Faith Bowl 3, which is going to feature all kinds of Catholic athletes, not football players, but baseball players, actually. Mike Piazza. And what is it, Kevin Sweeney, I think, is in there too, or Mike Sweeney, I can't remember. Anyway, you can find out more at ncregister.com. We talked about how this may be a big year for a number of Episcopalians to be coming into full communion with the Catholic Church, and the link between the pill, birth control pills, and breast cancer. And